这个故事就是说，这个寓言呢，就是有关这个一只青蛙呢跟这个大象的故事。
Now, what's your smallest coin here? The most smallest one in what do you call it? The
one penny.
One. Yes.
One penny. Yeah.
Okay. So this frog had found a one penny coin.
Frog?
Yes, the frog.
这个台湾最小的钱呢，我想我们叫做一角嘛，哈。那么他说呢，有一天这个有一只青蛙呢，发现了这个一角，就是一个小铜板。
And he was very, very pleased with himself.
那这个青蛙非常非常的高兴。
He thought, "Oh, now I've become a rich man."
这个青蛙说，啊，不得了，我现在变成最富有的人了。
And then one day, an elephant passed his hole.
然后有一天，这个有一只大象呢，这个经过他这个青蛙的家。
So the frog shouted out to the elephant.
然后这个青蛙就对那个大象大叫了。
Hey, don't you know I'm the owner of a one penny coin?
这个青蛙就对大象说，哎，你可知道我现在有一个铜板吗？
Of course, the elephant couldn't even hear him.
那当然这个大象呢，听不到他在叫什么。
So the frog ran off the elephant, kicking at the elephant and shouting at him, "You've got to know I'm the owner of this one penny coin." The frog was running off the elephant, kicking him and shouting at him, "Stop! You must know that I'm the owner of this."
然后这个青蛙呢，因为这个大象听不到青蛙在叫什么，这个青蛙就很生气了，他就跑去呢这个撞那个大象的脚，然后呢大声的在跟他叫说，你一定要知道呢，我是这一个铜板的主人。
But of course the elephant didn't even feel his kicks, didn't hear his shouting.
可是这个大象还是对这个青蛙呢在那边这个撞他呢，他一点感觉都没有，甚至听不到他在叫什么。
So that's what happens when we get intoxicated. We have an unrealistic view of life.
所以我们要注意到，当我们对某一个东西上瘾，或者是我们对某一个东西非常沉迷的时候呢，你会发现呢，你就是这一只青蛙一样。
So when we have too much pleasure, we can get intoxicated. We don't really understand life, or we forget life.
所以我们要注意，就是说，当我们生命中呢，什么事情都非常顺心如意的时候，那就是表示说，我们很可能已经沉溺在这个。喜乐的这个环境里面，然后我们忘了生命到底是什么，人生的真相到底是什么。
And one day the merit that got us into that position will run out.
Pardon?
The merit, the punya which got us into that position will run out.
那我们在这个享受这么一种顺心如意的这些福报的时候，有一天你会发现呢，你的福德呢会消耗完毕。
And then we'll no longer be in the world of the gods.
然后你就再也不可能呢有这么一个顺心如意的日子了，所以在天界的众生也是如此。
And when we leave the world of the gods, when we leave that very easy, pleasurable situation, we could get a very, very big shock.
所以一旦你失去了这样一种顺心如意的日子的时候，对你来讲，对你的生命来讲，那是可是一个很大的震撼。
So the Buddha appears here playing an instrument.
然后你会发现佛陀视线在天道的时候呢，他在做什么呢？他正在演奏一个乐器。
He's playing the Indian instrument, the Veena.
他正在演奏印度的 Veena 琴。
And on the Veena, he's playing the tune of impermanence.
佛用这个 Veena 琴来演奏什么歌曲呢？叫做无常之歌。
Apparently, Ashvaghosha used to go around, so the story says, around India,communicating the Dharma through playing the Veena.
我们知道在佛教史上有一个了不起的大菩萨叫做马明菩萨，马明菩萨一向就是用诗歌在印度呢来弘扬佛法而著名的。
Anyway, this is what the Buddha is doing.
所以佛陀呢视线在天道的时候，他就是以这个 Veena 琴呢来
reminding people that these good things will end and that they should continue making an effort.
佛陀在这个地方演奏无常之歌，目的就是要提醒天界的众生呢，就是说你这些福报总有享用完毕的一天，所以你一定要及时来修福再造福。
So what is the message for us? What is the meaning for us?
所以这个对我们是启示的什么呢？
When things are going good for us, when things are going well, When we're very, very happy, remember impermanence. Remember to keep making a spiritual effort.
所以这就是说提醒我们呢，当我们在过着一种比较顺心的这个日子的时候啊，比较这个事情什么都来得比较顺了，这时候我们真的是要小心了，就是说我们要知道这些福报有享用完毕的一天，那我们一定要及时的呢再造福再修福。
And then we come to the Asura Loka.
然后我们先来看看这个阿修罗道。
And these Asuras are very warlike, big warlike people, and they're fighting the gods for the fruits of this tree.
那这个阿修罗道众生他们的特色是什么呢？你看他们都一个一个都像巨人一样啊，他们是好战成性。
So, many of us are like that. Many modern people are like that. They want instant happiness, and they're prepared to fight for that happiness.
那这是阿修罗道的这个众生呢、啊？他们为什么而战斗呢？他们在追求天界的那些果实啊。我们看到天界有一棵树，上面很多果实，那些都是福德的这个果实。那这个阿修罗道的众生就是要追求那个东西。事实上，在我们现代的世界，也有很多人。他是现是是是这个现世的阿修罗。
They want what others have got and what they haven't got. They want the happiness that others have got. And they think that they can get this through fighting or through big business or through other things like that.
这个现代的这些阿修罗呢，他们跟这个天就是在阿修罗道的这个众生是没有两样的，因为呢他们要追求天界的果实，他们要追求某一些东西，然后他们以为追求这些东西最好的手段就是战斗。
Now I don't know about in Taiwan, but in India some big businessmen and some politicians are rather like these asuras.
我不太晓得台湾的情形，不过在印度我是看到很多这个政客啦，很多这个做生意的商人啦，那他们是道道地地的阿修罗。
They want happiness.
他们想得到快乐。
And they think that they can get that by hurting others or by being corrupt.
那这一些印度的这个商人或者政客呢，他们想要得到这个快乐幸福，他们的手段是什么呢？就是伤害别人。他们以为呢，只要把别人打倒呢，然后他们自己就可以得到他们要的这个东西。
It doesn't matter what they do as long as they get the fruits of that tree.
他们呢，只要达到目的呢，是不择手段的。
So、that's a bit like us sometimes if we're very jealous of someone or very competitive. You know, we want what they've got. And sometimes we'll undermine them in very subtle ways to try and get what they've got or to bring them down.
我想可能我们每一个人呢心里面都有潜伏这种阿修罗的种子。因为有的时候呢我们看不得人好，我们会妒忌人家。所以呢，只要别人比我们好一点，或者别人有一些我们没有的东西，我们心里面就开始妒忌，然后我们总要想尽办法呢，这样的这个直接的或间接的去讽刺对方呢，或者是把他拉下来。
Say someone gets more respect than us, and we want that respect. Well, in some ways, we'll undermine them. Maybe we'll talk badly about them to others.
所以，比如说有的人呢，是好像受到这个大众很大的这个尊敬，那有一些人他就心里面就不舒服了，他就要想尽办法呢去批评那个人，或者去。筹划那个人，那么就是要把那个人给扯下来。
Or say someone we think is getting promotion that we want, we'll try and maybe undermine that.
那比如说有的人呢，比如说最近这个升职了，那么有的同事呢，也许就看不顺眼了，哦，所以也是想办法呢要去这个好像把他这个说一些坏话。
So at such times we're behaving like the asura.
所以当我们处在这样的一种心理状态的时候，我们跟阿修罗是没有两样的。
We don't realize that to get the fruits of the tree, we actually have to grow the roots of the tree where we are.
那么这个阿修罗道呢，给我们一个很大的启示呢，就是说，我们如果真的要得到像天界一般的果实，我们并不是向天界去求，到天界里面去找，而是要在我们现在所立足的这个地方呢，来把这个树的根，把这个树干呢。把它这个栽培起来。
We can't just go to someone's garden and steal their fruit. We, If we want the fruit, we have to grow those fruit trees ourselves.
就像说我们要吃水果的话呢，我们不是说跑到别人的这个果园里面去摘人家的果实，而是应该在自己的这个家里的院子里面去种这个果实，种这个树。
In other words, to get happiness, we have to grow the tree of merit through our own actions. We can't just steal the merit.
所以我们不能去偷别人的福德福报。如果我们要福德福报，要靠我们自己的努力，就是透过我们自己的努力呢，来创造这个福报跟福德。
Yeah. Now the Buddha here is holding a sword.
佛陀在阿修罗道呢所示现的呢，是手里面拿着一把剑。
And the sword in Buddhism usually represents wisdom.
这个剑呢，在佛教里面呢，就是象征着智慧。
Yeah. And the basic principle of the Dharma.You could say is the principle of conditionality, pratichutsamutpada.
在佛法的角度来说呢，我们要学到的最重要的智慧呢，就是缘起的智慧。
This is very beautifully put in this very simple phrase. This being that becomes with the arising of this that arises.
所以在阿含经里面有一个非常简要的表达，叫做此有故彼有。
In other words, as I said before.In dependence upon what we do now, conditions arise in the future that affect us.
所以我们还有一个比较直接的表达，就是说呢，现在所做就是将来所受。
So the Buddha is teaching the Asuras that they've got to, that if they want the fruits of the tree, they've got to develop the merit that results in those fruits.
所以佛呢。在这个阿修罗道示现这个手里面拿着一把剑，就是要启示这一些阿修罗道的众生，就说如果你希望得到天界的果实，那么你就要在你现在所在的这个地方呢，来培福、来修福、来种福。
Now the Asuras are very big, strong people. They've got lots of energy.
阿修罗道的这个众生，你看这个图像，你们就知道呢，他们都是像巨人一般，这象征的呢，他们都是充满了生命的精力。
Now.In Tibetan Buddhism, in the Tantra, energy is very important. You never get rid of energy. You try and use that energy, whether it's even if it's negative energy, to help you in the spiritual path.
在藏传佛教里面呢，我们要特别注意到，就是说呢，这个生命的能量是非常宝贵的，你绝对不要去浪费它。不管是正面的能量或者是负面的能量，你都要善用你的能量。
So the Asuras are full of hatred and jealousy.
这个阿修罗道的众生，他们的能量呢，主要是表现在这种这个妒忌。
But if we follow this principle, then what does it mean? It means that they've got to turn that hatred onto the roots of their hatred within themselves. They've got to turn their hatred to destroy the roots of their hatred in them.
我们说阿修罗道众生呢，他们最多的能量呢，是表现在这个妒忌跟这个嗔恨。那么如果根据上面所讲的这个原则，如何来善用你的这个负面能量的时候呢？那就是说，你要善用你的嗔恨心，要恨什么呢？恨你自己的嗔恨心。
So instead of letting that hatred go out onto others, they turn it back onto themselves.
所以呢，不是用你的嗔恨心去恨别人，而是用你的嗔恨心去恨你自己这种这个很容易去恨的这样的一种习性。
Now we come to the Pretaloka.
然后我们先来看恶鬼道。
Now this is very ugly, isn't it?
恶鬼道众生很难看，对不对？
Very big bellies.
大肚子。
Very thin necks.
然后脖子很细。
Very, very small mouths.
然后嘴巴很小。
And anything that, so that they can never get enough to fill their stomachs.
然后呢，不管他们吃多少呢，好像永远都不会满足。
And when they do get anything, it turns into flame or into knives.
然后呢，这个如果他们这个吃了任何东西的话呢，一吃到嘴里面呢，不是变成火呢，就是变成剑。
So what does this represent? What sort of mental state?
这代表怎么样的心理状态呢？
It represents a mental state of never being satisfied, of neurotic craving.
恶鬼道就是代表众生的一种永远不满足的心态。
It represents the state of extreme dependence.
它象征，它也象征着呢，就是一种呢这个极端的依赖性。
It's best represented by the addict, the drug addict or the alcohol addict.
这个恶鬼道的这个众生呢，特别是可以表现出什么呢？就是那些这个有酒瘾呐、啊，或者是有毒瘾的众生。
Yeah, the more someone who is addicted to alcohol or drugs gets, the more he needs, the more he wants.
我们看看这个有毒瘾或者有酒瘾的众生呢，他喝酒越多呢，他越是这个瘾呢就越重，然后他的需求就越大。
So he's never satisfied.
所以这个上瘾就是。喝酒或者是这个吸毒上瘾的众生呢，他们永远都没有办法满足。
Sometimes when people fall in love, they're like that, aren't they?
那么还有就是说，如果人呢在谈恋爱的时候，大概也是这样的一种心态。
Actually, there was a book written about 20 years ago in the West about the similarities between neurotic love and drug addiction.
哦，好。
Very good book, very useful book. But
no, please explain about that.
Well.I won't go into it now. But,
you talked. You talked.
I don't know what your films in Taiwan are like. I can only speak for Indian films and English films that I saw over 20 years ago.
Yeah, please.
But you know, the young people in love, they can never see enough of each other. And even the more they see of each other, and maybe you've experienced this, you're still not satisfied. You want to see more.
就是我看了一部电影，讲到这个年轻人谈恋爱。那谈恋爱的时候呢，这个男方跟女方这双方面呢，就是说，这个男的看到女的，可是呢，不管看一天看多少次，他好像心里都不能满足。那么就是这样的，这个怎么看好像都不够。And then,
I'm not going to go on with that.
No, but no finish.
Just no. In the love, they just want to see more and more, so they're never satisfied.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just in this dependent state all the time. They can't be happy alone. Yeah. So the more they see each other, the more they want to see each other. That's illustrating this point of the praetor.
And what about eating?
I didn't say eating.
Oh, okay.
Addiction, sorry. But there's another fact about eating too. When some psychologists say that, people whoare not satisfied in these ways, they overeat, especially sweets.
这个就是说谈恋爱呢是这样一种心态，跟恶鬼道的心态是一样的。然后比如说在这个欧美呢，也有另外一个研究发现，就是说这个一个人呢，他这个在谈恋爱的时候呢，他特别喜欢吃甜食，因为这个吃甜食呢也有一种这个代替作用。
You cannot be satisfied alone in this state. You're always in a state of craving, extreme craving.
所以这个在恶鬼道的这样一种状态里面的时候呢，这个人的这个贪欲也是永远都不得满足的。
You can't get things out of your mind.
你就是没有办法呢把那个你想的东西呢从你的这个心里面呢把它这个放掉。
Maybe you can't get food out of your mind. Maybe you're always thinking about food.
啊，比如说有的人在一天到晚就想着吃这些方面的事情。
Or the addict is always thinking how he can get his next drugs.
或者是像这个吸毒的人呢，一天到晚满脑子就是想到吸毒的事情。
Or maybe the young man or woman are always thinking about they can't get that boyfriend or girlfriend out of their mind.
就好像谈恋爱的人呢，没有办法把他的情人从心里面呢这个放掉、yeah. 放下一样。
So the Buddha here is holding amrit.
那佛陀示现在这个恶鬼道的时候呢，他手里面呢是拿着甘露水。
Now amrit is a sort of mythical food.
甘露水就是象征的一种药
，and it stands for the dharma，
象征着法。
And what he's saying is that it's only the dharma which fully satisfies us。
佛陀示现在这个恶鬼道呢，手里面持的这个甘露水，就是要启示我们呢，唯有正法呢，才是我们真正的可以满足的。
In the end, nothing else is going to satisfy us except for the dharma.
除了正法之外呢，没有任何一个东西呢，它真正可以满足我们。
If we're in a state of extreme craving, then what should we do?
那如果我们处在这样的一个恶鬼道的状态里面，我们该做什么呢？
We have two things we need to do.
我们要做两个事情。
Firstly, we need to get out of the situation that stimulates that craving and away from the friends that encourage it.
我们要做的努力就是说，我们要远离这些呢诱惑我们的这个对象，然后呢寻求善知识的这个帮助。
And then we need to practice the Dharma, maybe go on retreat even.
那要走出这样的一个状态呢，最有效的方法呢，就是修持正法。譬如说，我们去参加一个佛七或者是禅七。
And we found, and I'm sure people here found that you go on retreat, and it's a tremendous cure. Even someone who's addicted to alcohol can break that alcohol habit on the retreat.
这种这个禅修呢，不管是禅七或者是佛七呢，它对这个就是治愈治疗我们这种执着这种贪爱呢是非常有效的。譬如说有很多这个吸毒的人或者是有酒瘾的人呢，他们经过一种这个长期的修持之后呢，他们都可以断掉这种这个酒或者是毒。
On retreat, you leave behind all the usual crutches that we have. We leave behind newspapers, we leave behind television, we leave behind even our family, we leave behind good food, and yet.We're as happy as ever.
你真正有这种这个禅修经验的人都知道，就是我们在禅期的时候，既不看报，然后呢也不看电视，然后你平常家里吃的好吃的东西也都没有了。那虽然如此，可是在禅修中，你依然可以得到很大的快乐。
So that is the amrit of the Dharma.
所以这就是说，佛呢示现在这个恶鬼道呢，他手里面持着甘露的意义。
Now we come to the hell realm.
然后我们看到这个地狱道。
And this is the realm of mental and physical pain, and the most horrible tortures shown here.
这地狱道呢，它最明显的就是说，身心呢正在受这个无量之苦。
Now, some of you have had a lot of physical pain or mental pain.
我想我们呢，在人道的众生也是一样，有时候我们身或者心呢，正在受一些苦。
You know, if you've had a lot of physical pain, then you'll know that in such times.You can't think about anything else. You can only think about that pain because it is bringing always your consciousness to it.
我们在受苦的时候呢，我想都有一个共同的现象，就是说，我们除了苦之外，我们什么都没办法想。
The problem is, when we're thinking only about ourselves, we become insensitive to others.
那这个问题就是说呢，当我们只想到我们自己受的苦的时候呢，我们对别人呢就变得很没有感觉了。
Not only that, but pain leads to hatred.
那更严重的是什么呢？就是说，因为对苦的这样一种这个强烈的感受呢，所以呢，它也引发了我们的嗔恨心。
You know, the different foundations of mindfulness. You've got the body, you've got feelings, you've got emotions, and so on.
我们看这个佛教导的这个四念处，所谓身受心法。
On the basis of feelings.Whether they're pleasurable, unpleasant, or neutral, so our emotions, our mental states develop.
在修受念处的时候，就是我们的感觉的时候呢，观照我们的感觉的时候，那就不管这个苦或者是乐或者是舍，对这三种受呢，我们都要修一种平等观。
If we have a pleasurable feeling, we want to keep it, so craving develops.
因为如果我们没有办法修到这个平等观的话呢，那么当快乐的感受升起的时候呢，就会引发我们的贪。
If we have an unpleasant feeling, we don't want it. We want to push it away, and that pushing away is like hatred.
那当我们遇到不快乐的境界的时候呢，我们很自然的就会升起一种这个嗔恨心。
I don't know whether you've had this experience, but I've had it many times. I walk along and I hurt myself. Maybe I stub my toe, I knock into an open window, and it hurts.
我不晓得各位有没有相同的经验。不过有时候，比如说我们走路不小心呢，这个脚趾头踢到了石头，或者是说这个头呢去撞到玻璃。
There's no one else there when I. It's entirely my fault, my own lack of awareness.
像这样，不管是脚趾头踢到石头，或者是说你碰到一块玻璃呢，这个完全就是也没有别人在那个地方，只有你自己，这完全是你自己的错。
But then someone comes into the room.
可是你正发生这个事情，如果有人刚好走过你的这个房间
，and I get angry with them as if it's their fault.
你就会不知不觉的呢，把这个气呢升到对方的头上去。
And after that, I'll even try and rationalize in my own mind why I should get angry with them.
Pardon?
I'll try and find good reasons in my mind why I should get angry with them.
然后也许你会赶快想要找一个理由说，哎，我怎么会对这个人生气？
Does that ever happen to you or only me? I think it happens to some of you.
我想不只是我有这个经验，恐怕在座各位也难免。
So independence upon unpleasant feelings, hatred arises.
所以我们要很小心，就是说，当我们处在一个痛苦的这个境界的时候呢，我们的嗔恨心是很容易随之而起的。
So when we're in states of extreme hatred, pain, then you can imagine extreme hatred is going to arise.
那就是说呢，当我们处在一个极端的这个苦的境界的时候呢，我们很可能一种极端的嗔恨心也在那儿。
And what is the result of that hatred? That hatred cuts us off from people more. It leads to more pain.
然后你会发现，就是说，因为这个嗔恨心升起了，所以结果是什么呢？就是说，你跟别人的关系呢？就越来越隔离了，然后这个隔离呢，又反而又增加了你的痛苦。
Can you imagine what someone who's always in a state of anger and hatred is like?
诸位能不能想象说，一个人如果经常处在一种生气的这个状态的时候，他会是什么样子
？Well, let me take the opposite. Someone who's in a very positive, happy state, full of loving kindness.You know, they're sort of open like this. You can see the happiness radiating from them.
我想先反过来说好了，就是当我们看到一个人，如果他是很快乐的，那么他样子会怎么样？他很自然就说，他是一种很开放的一种姿态。
Someone full of hatred, and anger is sort of shut in like this. He becomes, as it were, very, very tight.
那反过来说呢，当一个人非常生气，心里面充满嗔恨心的时候，他的生命是缩缩的，他的生命就是好很紧。
His heart, if you like, becomes very hard.
那的心呢会变得很硬。
Yeah, we have that expression in English, right? Maybe in Chinese too. Hard-hearted. Maybe not. Anyway, so. No.
No, I beg your pardon. Say again,
please. Hard-hearted, a hard heart.
How do you?
Speak? Or a heart like a stone.You know, the heart, like a stone.
Uh-huh. Yeah. 就是心硬如石。
Very, very hard. Yeah? So, and when we're like that, it means that we're even more concerned with ourselves, just ourselves.
那你越是处在这样一种这个嗔恨心的状态呢，你的心呢就越来越缩缩，然后你就是变成你只能想到你自己。
Now, the Buddha here, actually, there are different traditions of the Wheel of Life, and, In the one that I'm using, the Buddha is offering fire here.
那佛陀呢，在这个地狱道示现的时候呢，他所示现的是什么呢？就是他手里面拿着火。
Now, fire is a symbol of the spiritual life.
这个火呢，是象征了我们的一种这个修行。
Fire is a symbol of death.
火也象征着死亡。
Yeah? So,But of course, death doesn't end things. Death leads to rebirth.
当然，我说死亡并不是结束，因为死亡是这个再生的开始。
So in this way, fire is a symbol of the spiritual life. In that the old self dies, the negative, the attached, the hateful self dies, and a new, more positive self is born.
这个死亡不是一定一种负面的意义，因为死亡是代表什么呢？代表你那种这个嗔恨的这个心灵结束，然后你升起爱心，或者是说你这种这个很苦的日子的生命结束，然后快乐的生命的开始。
So what the Buddha is saying by offering fire here is that the only thing you can do is transform your hatred into love, is to practice the Dharma.
那佛陀示现在这个地狱道呢，所以你们拿这个火呢。火的一个更重要的一个意义，就是说它象征的一种这个心灵的转化，也就是说你要学会转化你的嗔恨心，使它变成一种慈悲心。
Allow the old self to die, allow the selfishness, allow the hatred, allow the attachment to self to die.
也就是说要让你的这个嗔恨心，让你的所有这些负面的这个情绪呢，通通死亡。
You can do this by practicing the Dharma, byDeveloping loving kindness by developing compassion.
所以你要来让这样的这个事情成功的话呢，那就是说你要长养你的慈悲心，透过佛法的修持、佛法的学习来长养你的慈悲心，然后你的这些嗔恨心还有其他负面的情绪就会死亡。
And it's sometimes that when people are in really terrible states, that they can actually make most effort and most progress in the Dharma.
那有趣的是呢，当人处在这样一个极端之苦的一个境界里面的时候呢，有的时候反而会激发他们呢，升起一个极大的一种这个精进心，然后这个有极大的成就。
Now, according to one Buddhist tradition, there are different seeds in each of these worlds, different enlightenment seeds.
有一个佛教的传承里面呢，曾经谈到这个六道轮回呢，就是在六道之中呢，它都有不同的一种这个开悟成道的种子。
So, I think there are almost no enlightenment seeds in the realm of the gods and the asuras, maybe one or two.
那么大体来说呢，就是说在天道跟阿修罗道呢，大概这个开悟成佛的种子、开悟成道的种子是很少很少的，大概只有一两个。
In the hell realm, there are a few. There are quite a few enlightenment seeds.
那在这个地狱道的话呢，也有一些开悟成佛的种子。
So what does that mean? It means that it's probably easier to gain enlightenment, to make progress from a state of extreme suffering than it is from a state of extreme happiness.
相对来说的话呢，这就是说呢，在地狱道呢，那么即使你处在一种这个极端的一个苦的一个境界里面的时候呢，那你可能成就的，也就是说透过你的这个精进能够成就的这个因缘呢，可能比天界还要多。
In the realm of the gods you've got so much to lose, but in the realm of hell you've got nothing to lose except your suffering.
你在天界呢，你得到很多，所以你呢，你会患得患失。可是在地狱道里面你什么都没有，你一无所有，所以呢，你唯一可以失去的什么，就是你的痛苦。
So sometimes in that state we are actually more receptive to the Dharma than in other states.
所以人处在极端的一个苦的一个境界里面的时候呢，对正法的这个追求有的时候比天界的众生还要强烈。
And now we come to the animal realm.
那我们来看